bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. It's Thursday, y'all. And you know what that means. It's the day after Wednesday. And if yesterday was pop-off day, can you imagine what today is? Can you imagine what today is? I got some stuff to talk about today. Woo! It got me turned up. I'm going to just admit that it got me turned up. By the way, you can stream and watch us live on YouTube at 101.7 The Truth. Make sure you subscribe and hit the notification bell so you never miss a minute of the live show. And now I got all this here stuff. So let me do this. Interesting. So I have a question, and it's a serious question. Sensitive question. And it's a question that has bothered me for quite a while. And I dug and I dug and I looked and I looked. And I finally found the information I was looking for. Now, granted, it wasn't the information I was looking for because it was a little depressing. But it's something I wanted to ask you and then talk about, because it's one of those things that disturbs me. And it's one of those things that makes me look at. Now my microphone just bloop. I'm telling you, it's Thursday. It's really Friday, but you know. You did? Well, at least I can say it was my fault. It's one of those things that troubled me for quite a while as I was growing up and looking at some of the issues that I had growing up and looking at some of the issues that friends of mine, people I knew, you know, like Like the first time somebody in my circle passed away, it affected me. And I have to slow down when I talk about it because then it kind of makes me release some emotional, you know, stuff. And so my question, and I hope it doesn't catch you in a bad space. So I'm going to tell you now, I'm going to ask a question. If it bothers you, then just turn off. No, don't turn off the radio. Come back in about 8 minutes. All right? I was about to say something stupid. Turn off the radio. That's dumb. But one of the things I want to ask, one of the things that I want to explore, one of the things that I want to really take a look at is why are Black children dying? Like, seriously, why are Black children dying? And I'm not talking about children dying in gunshots and shootings in the neighborhood and community this and all of that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about children. I'm not talking about children getting shot accidentally. I'm not talking about all those things. I'm talking about when it comes to the life of a child in America, a Black child. We need to ask ourselves the question, why are Black children dying? In TheRoot.com, there's a story published today by Phoenix Haley, P-H-E-N-I-X, middle initial S, last name Haley, H-A-L-L-E-Y. Starts like this. We like to think that children are safe from dealing with the realities of racism and systemic oppression. Me personally, I'm tired of everything always being blamed on racism and systemic oppression. There are some things that we do that cause us strife. And I've been living with that. You, as a Truth Nation, has castigated me, called me stupid, called me dumb, called me, you're an idiot with a PhD. How could you think that? Blah, 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 blah. And you've held on to racism and you've held on to, quote unquote, systemic oppression. But a new study has found the stark opposite is true. Now, are there issues? Yes. The article says, while economic, educational, and political disparities remain issues in the Black community, now we have something else to add to our already hefty plate of worries, the shocking death rate of Black children. And so we look at these things and we want to blame everybody else for all the things that happened to us. And we do it in economics, we do it in education, we do it in politics. And I'll be talking about education today. I'll be talking about politics today. I'll be talking about economics today. But right now, we want to look at all those things, all those issues in the Black community and how they affect the death rate of Black children. According to a study by the Annals of Internal Medicine, not only are Black children dying at a higher rate than white children, which I still don't understand why we compare ourselves to white children, is just a weird thing. But this trend dates all the way back to 1950. It begs the question, how much progress have we actually made if Black children have been disproportionately dying for at least 75 years? I'm not going to compare Black children's deaths to white children's deaths, to say, well, you know, the death should be, like, what is a normal rate for children to die? Let's try zero. Can we? The title of the study excessive mortality rate in black children since 1950 in the United States, analyze mortality data, right? The deaths, the lifespans from the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, and the U.S. Census Bureau between 1950 and 2019. With that, the death rates, life expectancy, expected years of potential life lost were all calculated. Based on the data, black children and infants were found to be twice as likely to die compared to their white counterparts. And that doesn't really mean anything, because twice as likely as doesn't mean anything unless you actually see the numbers that say this many and that many. One of the most shocking parts about the study is the estimated 5 million deaths that could have been prevented, including 522,617 infants. Now, you tell me, what are the causes, you think? What are the causes? We already know black people historically have less generational wealth, more debt, less support. According to the study, all this plays a significant part in the mortality trend. Of course, lower income, food insecurity. I don't know why we call it insecurity. You just don't have food. You need more food. You need more stores and all that. Less education, worse or no health care coverage were cited as factors that are present but not cause. They like to call it systemic racism, but is it systemic racism? We're really good at just lumping everything together and then lumping a community together, black people, and lumping all the issues together and saying we all have them when we all don't. We like to call it race-based inequity, discrimination. No, I'm not saying it's not present. I'm saying in many instances, it may not be the cause. And we spend an inordinate amount of time going through and looking at all those things that we believe cause black people not to survive, not to win, and not to do it. But we have to come to a realization. We have to come to the realization suicide, accidental death, things families let go and don't take care of, those small things, those little plastic things that you put in the plug, make sure your house is kid-proof, make sure you don't leave drugs laying around. And when I say drugs, I'm not talking about illegal. I'm talking about mommy and daddy's and older siblings' prescription drugs. We could knock this number down to almost zero if we simply took care of what we're supposed to take care of. So watch this. And I know I'm beating a dead horse. Studies show communities where residents are more educated are associated with less violent crime. That's why the suburbs don't have crime. That's why certain pockets in Milwaukee don't have crime. Less crime equals safer streets. Safer streets equals safer children. Now, if we support you with food, clothing, job readiness, you can literally prevent death. The narrative is that, oh, black children, they're killing them. Parents are killing their black kids. Oh, my God, is this? When, in fact, much of the crime in the black community is occurring by virtue of education. And this study proves it. So while we sit here and talk about how much we love teachers, why aren't teachers fighting and walking the street for the children? You would walk and protest and show up for a raise. You show up for a check. And then some of you send your kids to public school districts outside of Milwaukee so you could say, I support public school education. But then you ask them, well, then where do your kids go? Greendale, Greenfield, Whitefish Bay, Menominee Falls, right? Brookfield, that's a lie. Wauwatosa, you're lying. You're winning on a technicality. You just don't trust MPS. You want to stop the crime in Milwaukee? You want to stop the homelessness in Milwaukee? You want to stop the shootings? Train parents how to be parents. And then make sure kids go to school. Because the problem we have is we have a layer of parents that are uneducated. And now it's trickling down to their children. Why are our, notice I didn't say your or those, our black children dying?
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Okay, we're done. I know, I got to pick that up. I tell you. Life in the big city. Isn't it a kick? So before the break, we were talking about this whole thing with children dying. And it just disturbs me to no end. How are we going to start making changes? How are we going to make sure that our children have the opportunity to grow and expand and live and all those things? And I don't know. It's fairly simple. We have to hold parents responsible. And for some reason, we won't ask ourselves the question. Why are our black children dying? Why don't we call out bad parenting, bad things that people do? Why do we give people a break? And then later, when it blows up in our face, we want to blame somebody else. For the life of me, I don't understand that. And I just for the life of me, don't understand what it is that we do. I don't know. What are your thoughts? 833-212-1017 is the number. You can give me a call, hit me on the talk and text line, YouTube chat. I don't know. All I know is that things need to change. And do we have the internal fortitude, the power, the will to actually change? CBSNews.com has a story today. MPS Sean Kane no longer serving as director of facilities and maintenance effective immediately. The person in charge of handling the lead crisis has been removed from his position for MPS. District announced today, Sean Kane is no longer serving as the director of facilities and maintenance services effective immediately. Several students have tested positive for lead, and multiple schools have been treated for lead contamination. And we learn Kane was fired by the state on April 1st for claiming to be a registered architect. Well, I'm sorry, he was fined. My bad. He was fired by MPS. That's a requirement for his former role. You got to be an architect, a registered architect. You have to understand buildings. Have to understand how they work, the structure, live load, dead load, paint, all that, roofs. The Wisconsin Department of Safety and and how did we even get this far? Like, dude, how did you have a job where you needed to be a registered architect and nobody in the entire MPS administrative structure even bothered to check? Like, what is that? Hey, every year, yeah, I need you to go do a such and such. What? Yeah, you got to get a background check. You got to get this. You got to get that. You got to get this. You got to get that. Every year. Every year. This dude's been his job how long? The Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services says Kane was not registered for the first few years he held the job. He now faces a $1,300 fine. Lead has been an ongoing problem at MPS, has been addressing since January of this year when a student confirmed as having lead poisoning at Golda Meir. But will anybody think about suing the school? No. You can't. They ain't got no money. Seven schools have tested positive. Where was this guy? At a news conference today, MPS Superintendent Brenda Casellas stated multiple times the district can't comment on personnel matters. It would not confirm if he had been fired, but did state he is separated from the district. That's a dumb statement. You work in the public sector. If you got fired, if I got fired, it would be all over the news. Hey, Lieutenant Harris got fired. Poof. Oh, that's right. We only bash the police. We don't bash firefighters and teachers. Anyway, at the news conference, Milwaukee Health Department Commissioner Totoratis said he never wants to see someone else lose their job, but called Kane's separation a necessary move. Yeah, you do. If you're not doing your job, you need to be separated from your job. The district said two people will leave the department in the interim. The first is Michael Mannon, director of MHD, Home Environment Health, at HEH Division. I don't know what that is. Milwaukee Health Division, I guess. Health Department, Home Environmental Health, HEH Division, and Mike Terza, who previously worked as a leader in the district before retiring. Mannon will be supporting MPS full-time. Terza on a day-to-day temporary basis. You're only about a decade or two late. That lead has been sitting in those schools for decades. That's just that set of kids. And God bless them, we found it in time, hopefully. But what about the hundreds of kids that have passed through Golda Meir, the seven other schools, and all the other schools that still need to be tested? I'm not going to bash him because he's no longer with MPS. But that says a lot about MPS. And if the superintendent had anything to do with him no longer being in charge of maintenance, she did the right thing. If that's the type of superintendent she's going to be, she's going to go in and you don't do your job and you have no training and you don't have this, you're done. How long has he gone without being licensed? How do you keep a job without they'll tell you, by the way, you lose your certification as a law enforcement officer. You can't work here anymore. Like instant, boop, done. You got to go to the state and get a waiver, and then you got X amount of time, and then this, and if you don't, boop, you're done. Unless you work for NPS. But then you just got to work for days, weeks, months, years, decades. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. But they gave it a good try. Well, I don't think so. And so out of all the things that are causing our children to die, of all the things that are causing issues for our children, right? What did they call and say to you? Somebody called and said, did my children go to NPS? I didn't grow up in Milwaukee, and my children grew up in Milwaukee. They did not go to NPS on purpose. Because coming from Chicago, they would have had to go to certain schools, and I can guarantee you 100% if I lived in Chicago, they would not go to public schools. I am not against public school education. I support public school education. I pay taxes in the city of Milwaukee. I'm perfectly fine. As long as it's a good school, and my children are going to learn, going to excel, and be at the top of their class. That's it. And that is something that you should expect for your school, your student. I don't have a problem with everybody getting an A if they deserve an A. It shouldn't be in comparison to other kids. It shouldn't be in comparison to what the curve is. If you get an A, it's an A. If you get a B, you get a B. We're done. But my children did not go to NPS. And the reason they didn't go to NPS, because I was not happy with the NPS schools they would have had to go to, because I know the constraints that schools put on you depending on where you live. And I live on the north side of Milwaukee. And I did not want my children to go to that school. I also didn't want my children to go to a school that was so, at the time, predominantly white or predominantly Hispanic, that they lose a grasp of what it means to be black. And if white parents lie and say that they don't do that, and Hispanic parents and Asian parents lie and say they don't do that, that's a lie. I have absolutely no problem. I want my kids to be in a school that looks like them and represents them. As they went to high school, different story. I need to now prepare you to go into a world where the world don't look like you. Everywhere you work, everywhere you go, everything you do, every neighborhood you live in, depending on the neighborhood and the city, they're not going to look like you. So get used to it. Learn to code switch, talk back and forth, right? And for those of you, before we go to break, who think I don't have to code switch anymore and all those things are over, I can just talk the way I want to talk and dress the way I want to dress and be the way I want to be. We don't own those companies. So if you don't conform, you won't get paid. So when we talk about DEI being gone, I don't think it was ever here. I don't think it was ever here. And it's like Spike Lee said, we was robbed, lied to, bamboozled.
You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. What y'all talking about on the, you know what? The YouTube chat line. Y'all be in a world by yourself. Y'all supposed to be listening to the show. And y'all jaw-jacking and ripping and running and talking about weed. Yeah, I tell you. 833-212-1017 is the number. Ralph said, Dr. Ken, the lead problem is responsible to the NPS school board, and the folks who hire should face some culpability for the lead contamination. Well, they can't force any I understand what you're saying, but they can't force any culpability because, one, you hired a professional to tell you that. You should have had a person screaming and hollering every single day, like, we're tired of this person. We're going to fire them. We've had administrators, people that got laid off, fired, quit, NPS, that have been telling you for decades, these are issues in NPS, and nobody listened because you wanted status quo. You had families that had jobs at NPS. You had cousins and aunts and uncles and spouses and all that. So you can't just blame the school board. People saw things broken and they worked, they got their pension and they left and they never said a word. I would have lost my job. I would have, right. And what you're telling me is that you don't care about kids. You don't care about kids. It'd have been tough. You'd have struggled for a bit. You'd have found another job and that would have been that. But if you have a reputation as a whistleblower, you mean telling the truth? See, whistleblowing is drawing attention to the things that are wrong and that ought not be so that everybody is safe. You're telling me that you're a snitch, which is odd because snitching is actually something you do. You're actually telling the truth. How is that bad? Unless you're the person someone's telling the truth on. That school board wasn't there. They weren't elected when that lead got put in there as paint. But based on the information and the tests they did, they should have known that the paint had lead in it. And you err on the side of caution. You don't err on the side of, well, we'll just test all the schools. It's 156 schools. But that would have been easy to do too, right? Bring in 156 people, one person for each school, or God forbid, divide it out. Divide 156 by 4 or 3 and get about 30 people and send them out. You got X amount of schools to do. Get it done. And they would have got it done. And when they were done in 6 months, we would have said, these are the schools that need to close. These are the schools that need to, we got some. But instead, we just sit back and collect our check. I wonder. Let me check something. Because it's public, I just thought I'd check. As of March 2025, the average salary for a director of maintenance in Milwaukee is around $142,854. Think about that. That's average. Salaries can range from $133,502 to $224,352. Just on average, if you're a director of maintenance in the city of Milwaukee. This is from ZipRecruiter, national averages, stuff like that. National averages is $196,000. I'm not saying salary has anything to do with what you do, but this is me. The more money you make, the more attention you should be giving your job. Significantly more. Because if you're getting paid more, that means you're responsible for more. And I don't fault this guy that they let go, relieved from his job. I don't fault him. I fought the people over the decades that let kids sit and led and did nothing. And we were too busy testing for drugs and testing for all these other things when in fact we should have been testing for what? Lead. We should have been testing for lead. We should have been going in and talking to these children and figuring out what it is that's bothering them. And we might have found that that ADHD or the slowfulness or whatever the byproducts are of lead poisoning is. Yeah, I know I said it twice. It comes down to they were derelict in their duty. And so if some of the parents aren't educated and they're not getting information from NPS because they're not saying anything, where do you get this information from? And now we are where we are. We have a school board that's derelict in their duty, every single one of them. We have principals that are derelict in their duty because they didn't scream loud enough. If you're doing something and somebody can come behind you and say, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? That person that I think would say that to me is the person I'm going to complain to. And then I'm going to turn that around and go, why didn't you? I told you. You should have given me some direction. You should. Now watch this. Somebody on the NPS board probably knew. Somebody at NPS, and I know a good number of principals. Male and female, black, white, Hispanic, phenomenal leaders. I'm pretty sure somebody went back and told them. But then again, you don't want to hear that because I have area superintendents and I just, as a superintendent, filter that out. And no area superintendent is going to tell you some bad news that you want to hear because they want to keep getting paid and keep their job. So what do? You say nothing. And it perpetuates. For seconds, for minutes, for hours, for days, for weeks, for months, for years, for decades. And now we are where we are. Something got set back in the 1950s that is causing our black children to die. And we got nothing to say.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. There's been a lot of buzz surrounding the draft that's coming, but you won't find one seeping through Pella's windows and doors. There's no buzz. There's no sound. There's no draft. In fact, you should make Pella your number one pick because right now you can take advantage of no interest financing options or free glass upgrades. Their talented designers and installers can match your unique home through seamless customization. Certain restrictions apply, and the deal ends April 30th. So place your free in-home consultation request today by going to PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. 833-212-1017 is the number. I was harassing them on the talking text line. You ain't multitasking. Can't none of y'all multitask. So I'm looking at the YouTube, and they going back and forth. Hey, how you doing? How's your day? So Miriam said, I think withholding crucial information like, lead poisoning, stuff like that, should be against the law, especially if it's a matter of health and safety. Well, usually withholding crucial information is because it's about health and safety. Now, here's the problem we have, Miriam. If we get a law for every single thing we don't like, soon we'll lose all of our civil liberties. They'll chip away and chip away and chip away to the point where you won't have any at all. and you'll have a socialist government who tells you, by the way, these are the times you can use the bathroom. These are the times you can brush your teeth. These are the times you have to take a shower. If you want to wash clothes, you got to do it like this. You got to use this temperature. You can't use that temperature. You got to use this soap detergent. You can't use that. Like, do you really want to live that life? Because if you do, I'm okay with it. I just don't want to do it here. I like my freedom more than that. So I'm not really open to letting people tell me what to do and not tell, to the point that when it's bad for you and you continue to do it, like drugs, alcohol, guess what? You reap what you sow. Does everybody reap what they sow? No. Every now and then there's grace that, you know, will step up and smack you in the back of the head and be like, hey, what you doing? What are you doing? And it doesn't work. And it doesn't work. So I get it. But y'all not multitasking. Quit it. Quit it. 833-212-1017 is the number. So CNBC reported yesterday that the U.S. Treasury Department is slowly eliminating paper checks. Donald Trump, president, signed an executive order requiring all federal departments and agencies to switch to electronic payments. And guess what? Who's going to make money on electronic payments? You got it. In a statement, the White House said electronic payments are an attempt to modernize how the government handles money, leaving old-fashioned paper payments to fast, secure electronic payments. Paper-based payments such as checks and money orders impose unnecessary cost delays and risks of fraud, lost payment, theft, and inefficiencies, the White House said. And that is true. With the September 30th deadline, the agency has an estimated 6 months to phase out paper checks used for tax refunds and close to 456,000 Social Security monthly mail checks. The order forces all government departments and agencies to issue disbursements with electronic transfer methods, direct deposit, digital wallets, debit and credit cards, and real-time transfer. So here's what I like about it and here's what I don't. Companies that handle electronic transfer fees are going to make out like a fat rat and get filthy rich. But after that, Kiplinger, as a directive of Trump, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, is expected to embed exceptions for individuals who don't have access to banking services, specifically in cases like emergency payments. Bessent is scheduled to submit an implementation plan for such measures within 180 days. That's 6 months. And it's amazing because you only got 6 months to do it. Amazing. Anyway, so here's my deal. That's why we have Educators Credit Union. Like, one of the reasons why we talk about it, they're not as, what's the word I'm looking for, onerous, not onerous as a bank, technical as a bank. They're not as you know, the rules for them are a little less than rules for big banks like Chase and all that stuff, right? Associated Bank, you know, they have their place and they are phenomenal partners here at 1017 The Truth, right? But Educators Credit Union is for the members, right? It's for the members. So as a credit union, they're concerned about profits, bottom line of shareholders. Their greatest reward is you achieving your financial dreams through lower rates and access to free financial resources. So experience more heart, less hassle, and that's why, right? They're going to be changing up all these things. If you don't have an account, if you want to figure out whether or not you have membership eligibility, because membership eligibility is required, and you want to achieve more, ecu.com. Go in, apply. You know how much money you need to have your account? $5. Open up a credit union account at Educators. $5. Membership eligibility. Even if you're not eligible, you can get some free financial resources and it can help you. This is where you need to get to go, you know, credit score or whatever, this, that, clean this up. And you can actually like become a member. And that way, when you get your Social Security check, when you get your tax refund, you have an account to send it to. And it's right there. And you have access to it. You have an app. It's secure. All those things that now that you're complaining about, Donald Trump doesn't care anymore. Checks are not safe. People are stealing them. They're replicating them. They're stealing people's money, their livelihood. Or you could just go to ecu.com, fill out a form, go into the office, sit down, and figure out what is it you need to do in order to make your money safe, make your money grow, and benefit your family.